Pillow fight. Hey, welcome again. It's so good to see you guys and gals and have you here with us this morning. This is week four of our series, God Never Said That, and we're just wrapping it up this week. And so what we want to do is just kind of go through, or we've been going through these beliefs that we have that we get so wrapped up in that we believe we've heard and we believe so much, they've become part of our theology. They've become part of what we believe about God. But the truth is that God never said them. And so we've kind of looked at the thought of, you know, God won't put more on you than what you can handle. And we know that He will allow things to get on you so that we begin to depend on Him and just stuff like that. And so this today is just focusing in on one more of those. It's a very culturally relevant thing right now that we see that people just think that they can believe whatever they want to believe. And the truth is that God never said it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in it. I appreciate people being sincere in things, and I appreciate sometimes the fervor with which, you know, that's an old churchy word, fervor, by the way. I just wanted to stick it in there and see if that appealed to any of you. They argue like crazy about things that really that doesn't even have any factual proof. I mean, I think even the things we believe about religion or about politics so often are many times things that aren't even based on truth or fact. They're just based on what we believe or what somebody else has told us or guess what? What somebody posted on Facebook, right? Unfortunately, you know, Facebook and Instagram, they can all be really cool things for us, but too often they get used for religious and political things, and they're really just never any truth to them. So we need to be careful about what we read and what we think and what we allow to become part of our truth. And so today I want us to dig down through this thing because many people believe it so wrongly that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in it, right? I can sincerely believe I'm going to lose weight, right? But guess when I lose weight? When I actually do something about it, right? So I can believe it, and I can sincerely believe it. But until I do the things that allow that to happen, it's just not going to happen. I mean, I can believe that my car will run forever with the gas light on. Right, I can believe that, and I'm pretty good at it actually. But I can believe that. But guess what? Sooner or later, it's going to run out of gas. And so it doesn't matter how sincere it is that I believe it. It's what's true and what's factual. And so that's what we want to dig down into this. Because here's what it is: when people believe that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in it, that's a feel-good kind of theology. It's one of those things that just, if we just, you know, kind of even to that point, well, you know, this and this person believes that, and this person believes that, and back and forth, and it's like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Because that's just making you feel better that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It just doesn't work that way. And so we need to be able to do that. Sometimes funerals are like the worst place sometimes for the things to be said that aren't true. And so today I might kind of bust some of your bubbles, but you know, one of the things of, you know, well, they weren't very much of a religious person, but they're in a better place now. Well, really? I mean, do we know that? How would we base that truth on it if they really, you know, didn't have much to do with religion, didn't have much to do with the church, didn't have much to do, especially with Christ? How do we know they're in a better place? Because that often gets said, you know, grandma, she's just up in heaven looking down on me. I don't know about you, but I don't want my grandma looking at me sometimes of the day, right? Because it's just kind of weird watching, you know, it's just, I'm just saying, it's weird. And so I don't want her watching me all the time. But nonetheless, we kind of allow those things to come into our thought process and into our theology, and we need to be very careful about it. I heard the story about a lady and these guys that were working together, and one of the ladies was talking about the fact that she believed in reincarnation. That was a belief that she had. She believed that when she died that, you know, she would be reincarnated. In fact, she believed in her life because she loved France and she loved trees, that she was once a tree in France. Right? That was part of her belief, that she believed that she was a tree in France. And so one of the other guys said, well, that's kind of interesting because I love dogs and I love France. And I bet I was a dog in France one time that found you as a tree. Anyway, y'all will get that later and you'll be like, oh man, he just did really say that, didn't he? Yeah. But anyway, so here's the thing. It's we find there's all kinds of things that we believe and all kinds of things that that we want to make true, but there is only really one truth, and that's what we want to focus in on today. When we think that it doesn't matter what we believe, as long as we're sincere in it, we set ourselves up to really then be sincerely let down in so many ways, and especially when it comes down to the fact of what really happens when we die. And so so we want to make sure that we're focused in that. You know, it's kind of interesting that in our society, it's not really so bad to be spiritual, right? And so we've it's okay that if you can believe in God, it's okay that you can acknowledge God. It's okay that you can thank Him for the Grammy that you won or the Super Bowl that you just won. You can do those kind of things. In our society, you can have this spiritual basis and you can put God as part of it, but it's oftentimes that as long as it stops there, we're good. See, the problem comes in, though, when Jesus enters the equation, right? And so what happens is when we're talking about what we believe, it's okay to believe in this higher being. But when that higher being becomes a very personal being and very intricate to us, then it's a problem. And the truth is that the reason that Jesus is a problem in the conversation so often is that He made a claim that goes beyond what anybody else claimed. And so Jesus then, when we talk about what we believe, and man, I don't know if I believe all of that, and I don't know if it's okay to believe all that, the problem comes in with people when we then begin to apply something to it that makes it very personal. And Jesus made it personal when He said, listen, in John 14, 6, He said, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He says, no one else can come to the Father except through Me. When Jesus made this claim, He changed it from being able to be a general God and just one more thing for us to believe in, and He made it very personal. And He made it very specific, and He made it very exclusive, right? And so what happens is people don't like exclusive things because it makes them sometimes have to do things that they don't want to do. But Jesus said, listen, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and I'm the way that you get to the Father. And so what that does is that creates more of a pointed direction for us. And so in that, it becomes very tough. People just, they don't want to have something that boxes them in and something that makes it very specific. But Jesus was very specific in that, and we need to understand that He is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life, and He is the way to the Father, and He's the only way. But now there's some pretty good other religions out there, and they believe some pretty good things. You know, there's Buddhism and Hinduism, and it is kind of cool to think about, oh, well, if this life doesn't do, if it kind of stinks, then I can hope for the next one to be a little better, right? I mean, that's kind of cool in a sense if you think about it. And so we would, you could kind of see that would be kind of a good thing. You know, there's Muslims, and so they believe that, their right standing with Allah is that if they do good things. Well, doing good things is a good thing, right? I mean, if we want to look at it, if our good standing is with God because of what we do, then that would make us do good things, and that would be a positive for the world. And so there is something kind of good about that. You know, there's the New Age thinking that, if I just have this higher consciousness, if I just think better thoughts, I'll achieve this level of whatever. That's kind of good if you think good thoughts, isn't it? I mean, we should want to think positively and think better. So those are good things in there. And there are people who sincerely believe this. But we got to look at what the truth is. And we have to be able to understand that it's more than just having good thoughts. It's more than just having positive things, because we believe that Jesus came, the Son of God, came to earth. God loved us so much that he sent him here because there was sin that separated us from him, and he sent Jesus to come and die on a cross to pay the price for our sin so that we could be forgiven and set free from the penalty of that, which the Bible tells us is death, and that we could be set free and then be able to have a relationship now restored to the one who created us. And not only did he just do it for today, but he was buried, he was raised again, and because of his resurrection, not only are we set free today, but we're set free for eternity through our trust and belief and faith in him. So Christianity has definitely some things to stand up to, right? To live up to, and it sounds really good. But here's the thing, so many people believe things that aren't true, even though they're sincere about it. And so you got to think about, one, God never said it doesn't matter what we believe as long as we're sincere. You got to just kind of get over that. It does matter what you and I believe. And two, when they believe something that's just not right, there's a problem in it. And so today, what I want to do is I want us to look at the truth of it. I want us to get down to what's real and help us understand that. Now, here's the thing. We're going to look objectively at this thing, because here's the thing. Let me just tell you, I'm a believer in Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus, right? I, at age 21, I accepted him as my Savior. And so I believe what the Bible says about who Christ is and what he's done for me. And so I believe that. So you just got to, I think you kind of should know that. If I'm up here doing this, that would be a good thing, right? But you got to, as we're making this argument now, I'm a little biased. Okay, so what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to consider me today. I don't want you to consider my opinions. I don't want you to consider my thoughts. I don't want you to consider my life, because my life, I'm very open about that. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. You know, make mistakes just like anybody else. So if you look at me, there's some point where I'm going to let you down. So I don't want you to consider me today. Right? I don't want you to consider our church, because I mean, this is not about the church. Because guess what? Our church is full of imperfect people as well. So if you're here and you're kind of wondering about this, let me just tell you, there's people here that will let you down as well. Right? If they haven't already. Okay? So don't consider the church, because you are a community church that's made up of a bunch of imperfect people. Don't consider it. Don't consider Christianity today. Don't base what you're going to believe based on Christianity. You're thinking, what in the world? This dude has lost his mind. He's off his rocker. What kind of nonsense is this? Listen, Christianity is what we believe. I don't want you to believe what people have made Christianity to be, because here's the thing. If you look at Christianity, then you automatically look at Christians. And here's the thing about Christians. If you take two Christians, you're probably going to see two different things out of them, because you're probably going to see one Christian who's a really nice person who does try to live their life right, who does try to, you know, does try to read their Bible, does pray, and does believe. But then guess what? The other one, odds are they're probably going to be a jerk. And they're not going to live a good life, and they're not going to care about most of what Christ has asked them to do. That, you see it all the time, right? No joke. I was working for Stanley, my part-time job, the other day. I went to a church, and I had to drop something off at the cemetery, and I encountered a church secretary. Can I tell you, say, I'm glad we don't have a church secretary. And if she was mine, I would fire her. I'm going to be up front with you. Because she wasn't nice to me, and I was not doing anything wrong. And she just was ugly about in her whole demeanor. And so, listen, Christians, you can't base your faith in Jesus. You can't base your eternity on another person, because they're just going to let you down. There are times where somebody would probably interact with me and say, man, that guy's just, he's just not nice. Or he's, you know, he kind of ignored me. Or what? It just happens. So we can't base it on another person. So don't consider another person. Don't consider Christianity. Don't consider Christians. Here's what I want you to consider. Consider Jesus. Consider him. He's the basis of it all. He's the one that we need to look to if we're going to look at this that this it does matter what you believe. And if you're going to look at it, and if it does matter, then you need to look at what's most important, and He is most important. So let's just look at some things that we need to consider about Him. Let's consider first His ministry. Let's consider the ministry of Jesus. Let's look at that to begin to wonder, if is this really true? Is He really who He says He is? The first thing we find in Mark chapter 2, it says, "But the religious," or when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked His disciples, "Why does He eat with such scum?" Right? So, I got to tell you, there's still a lot of Pharisees, y'all. There's still a lot of people who don't want to be caught with somebody that doesn't look like them, talk like them, smell like them, whatever. And they don't really care about their preacher doing it either, because that means if the preacher does it, guess what? That means they're probably going to come to church on Sunday, and you're going to have to sit with them, and you're going to have to hang out with them. And if you go to eat with me after church on Sunday, you may have to go eat with them too. They said, why does He eat with those people? Why is He hanging out with them? And then verse 17 just tells why Jesus came. It says, when Jesus heard this, He told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Right? Anybody ever go to the doctor when you're just, go to the emergency room when you're healthy? Right? No, nobody goes there. I mean, Lord, who can afford to go there when you're sick? But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. You go to the doctor when you're sick. If you go to the doctor when you're healthy, it's because you're trying to keep from being sick. Right? And so healthy people, they don't need a doctor, but sick people do. And I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Listen, the worst place to be is to be where you don't know that you're a sinner. To know and to believe that you're better than anybody else. That you've got it all figured out. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who think they've got it together. I came for those who know that they need Me. And that they need a Savior. They need somebody to deliver them from what they are due. See, Jesus came to hang out with the people that others despised. And He loved them and He accepted them. He came to hang out with those that religion rejected. Those were the people He spent His time with. I think about the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, listen. He told the people that were about to stone her, He said, listen, are you about, you that hadn't messed up, then you go ahead and do what you got to do. Of course, they all dropped their stones and they went away. And then He looked at her and said, listen, where are your accusers? Go and sin no more. See, He caught somebody that the society was ready to deal with. And he delivered them. He opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He caused the mute to speak. He touched lepers. When nobody else would get near people, He healed them. And He turned water into wine. And that, of course, that messed up the whole Baptist church. But then he said, He multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 men and thousands more women and children. He did some amazing things. He raised the dead. And here's what's crazy about the whole thing. The critics didn't question any of it. They really didn't. They looked at Him and they just wanted Him to stop doing what He was doing. See, He created a problem for them because He made them believe something they weren't ready to believe. So you need to consider the ministry of Jesus when you're looking at, what do you believe? Because it matters what you believe and what I believe. And we need to look at His ministry. He proved it over and over again. Listen, I look around the room. And see, people say the ministry of Jesus doesn't exist anymore. But I look around the room and I see so many people whose lives have been touched and changed and just totally, radically, just God just messed you up by taking you and making you something that you were always created to be. And that's to be His and to be whole. See, the ministry still exists. Man, I just think about what He's done in so many lives in this place and what He's yet to do. It's amazing to watch it. His ministry lives and breathes through you and I, that as we let Him make us who He wants us to be, then He gets to use us to help in that same stages with other people. Man, that's why we're here. I get that you came to feel better, maybe to get something to take away, to make your life, but really that ultimately today we should be here to be more like Him, to want to grow and let our lives be changed by Him and His ministry. That's why we're able to do what we do. Think about my own life and the places that He brought me from, the things that He did in my life to let me not be who I used to be. It's just amazing to watch Him do that. And see, the things that He's done in my life to make me more like He wants me to be are the very things that He uses in me and through me to help other people be what He wants them to be. And He does the same for you. What is it that He's done in your life, and how has He changed you? Listen, if you can't tell somebody how Christ has changed you, guess what? He probably hasn't. So today I'm going to ask you to consider Him. Has He made you more like Him? Are you today more like Him than you were yesterday? If not, I want to challenge you to consider His ministry and consider who He is and what He wants to do in your life. When we look at this, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Let me just help you. Maybe you need to consider His ministry, but then also maybe look and consider the resurrection. Consider the resurrection of Jesus, because it points to something that's greater than anything we've ever experienced. See, Christ came, and He came because He loved us. He came, and God sent Him here to be the one who delivers us. See, He hates sin, but He loves you. He hates sin, but He loves that person called into sin. Listen, church, if we ever get to a place where we hate people, then we're not a church of Christ. We're not the church that He created us to be. No matter what's going on in their life, we are to love people just like He loved people. And we're to understand that though sin doesn't have a place in our lives, it's there, and we need to love people first. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came, was born of a virgin. Why? So that He wouldn't have the sin nature of a man. He was born so that He could come and then be that sacrifice, to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He was without sin, and that's why He went to the cross and could go to the cross, is because he wasn't tainted with that. He was able to go and be the sacrifice that delivers us and paid the price for our sin. The amazing thing is, there He was on the cross. He looks up to God and says, "Forgive them, because I don't know what they're doing." Think about where you may be right now. Maybe somebody's done you wrong right now, and you're kind of just reeling from it. Could you really look out right now and say, "Father, forgive them"? I mean, honestly, that's hard to do. But here's Jesus nailed to a cross, hanging up after being spit on and beaten to an unrecognizable state, and He looks out at those people and says, "Forgive them." It's because He loved us. He loved those people, and He loves us. He was willing to do that. Think about that time, that moment where He's hanging on the cross and He's about to take His last breath. It gets dark and the ground trembles, and just the scene that was there at that moment where He takes His last breath. And then He's taken off the cross and He's put into a borrowed tomb. But here's what Acts 3:15 says about that moment. Peter's writing, he says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." See, you consider the resurrection of Jesus, the one who said He would come and that He would rise again on the third day, the temple would be rebuilt, is how He put it, but he was there. The resurrection is what sets Him apart. He did what He said He would do. The Roman soldiers even looked at Him and said, this is truly the man that He said He was. The enemies of Christ, you think about the resurrection and the empty tomb, the enemies, when they found out, they were just amazed at this thing, and they were looking at it, and many people think that they were the ones who actually took the body. Well, what good would that do them? That only proved he was who he said he was. If it was truly that case, then they would want the body. They would want to prove that he was dead and he stayed dead. Some people say the disciples, they came and got him. That these 11 uneducated, you know, men or whatever came, overpowered these Roman soldiers, rolled the stone away, took the body, and that's how he disappeared from the tomb. Really? Because here's what those guys did after they came and they faked his resurrection. Almost every single one of them, all but one, would later give their life for this truth. Now listen, there are some things I would die for. I would die for my wife. I would die for my kids. I would die for a few of y'all. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If I said all of you, I'd be in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. But let me just tell you, one thing I'm not going to die for is a lie. I'm not going to give my life for something that's just not true. I'm not going to give it for something that I don't believe in. But these men gave their life for it. Even Thomas, the one who said, hey, you know, I'm not sure I believe all this. He said, here, touch my hand and put your hand in my side. And so Jesus showed him that it really was him. And Thomas, the one who doubted everything, would have a spear shoved through him as he testified. And as he took the gospel into India and all over the place, he would go and do that and later die for his belief. The resurrection, the truth of it, sets Jesus apart. That if nothing else, if you got to believe something, you know you can believe the truth of it because there were the witnesses. There were true accounts of what happened to Jesus after he gave his life on a cross, that he was raised on the third day, how the power and love God had. He lifted him up for us. Consider the ministry. He came for sinners. Consider the resurrection. He was raised from the dead, not left to just be there, but he was willing to do that, and there were witnesses of it. And then the third thing is this: consider the eternal message of Jesus. The eternal message. Paul summarizes it this way in Romans 3, verse 22. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. No matter who. He says, we're made right by what? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We're made right by believing that grandma came back as a donkey. No. We're made right by believing if we rub the belly of a fat man that everything's going to be good. Right? If that was the case, y'all would all be up here. It don't work. I do it all the time. It doesn't do anything for me. If it was, you know, he doesn't say those things. He says, no, by placing our faith in who Jesus is. To put it another way, God made us right by considering who Jesus is. By considering Jesus and accepting Him and allowing Him to be our Savior. And He says, listen, it's not just true for some who believe, right? It's not just for the rich who believe. It's not just for the white who believe. It's not just for the pretty who believe. Even the ugly get to believe it and it's for them, right? I rejoice in that, right? I'm excited. Ugly people go to heaven too, so it's a good thing. We're made right by who Christ is, not by who we are. We are who we are when we believe in who He is. And it's not just true for a few. It's true for everyone, no matter who you are. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. One of the biggest things that if I could rate it, the number one excuse that I hear, and I get it's not really so much of an excuse for a lot of people, it's what they believe. A lot of people just believe they've done too much for Christ to ever forgive them for that. People think that they've done things that are just too wrong for Christ to ever love them enough to forgive them. So we talked about it last week that God says, listen, if you confess your sin, if you honestly confess it, and if you confess it, that He is faithful and just and He will forgive you. Listen, He obligates Himself to do it if we confess it, no matter what it is and how bad it is. That's a struggle for some people. Well, listen, I know what you're thinking. Like, I know that guy that you know, he killed his wife, right? I mean, we see that on the news all the time or whatever. That guy, no way can he do that to his wife and child and that he can go to heaven. Listen, I believe what the Bible says is that at some place, if that guy confesses his sin and accepts Christ, I got to be honest with you, the Bible doesn't say that except for that guy. I don't know if he ever will or who. It comes down to the fact of what Christ says, and the gospel is for everyone, and for whoever believes and calls on the name of Christ will be saved. It's for you and it's for me. Listen, I got a pretty good list behind me of things that, you know, they're tough. But, you know, the moment that I met Christ, the moment that it came down to who Christ was for me, it didn't matter. I didn't go through that whole list of everything with Him before I said, you know what, I can get through it with most of them, but that one, I'm sorry, Christ, I'm not going to accept you because I know you won't let me in with that. No. He says to bring the list. And if you bring the list, honestly, He will deal with it, and He's already paid the price. Consider the eternal message of Christ. See, what we want to do oftentimes is we want to take Jesus and we want to add everything to Him. Like, okay, it's Jesus plus this will get me into heaven. Jesus plus me doing the right thing gets me into heaven. Jesus plus me giving enough money to the church gets me into heaven. Jesus plus, you know, this, or Jesus plus that. Listen, it's not that. It's Jesus that gets you into heaven. It's Jesus that gets you even more than just into heaven. Come on, y'all, church, quit selling what it is short. It's not about getting into heaven. It's about getting into a restored relationship with the God who created you. It's more than just heaven. The heaven's just the bonus of where we get to enjoy it. But we need to quit looking forward to just streets of gold and look forward to sitting in the lap of the One who gave Himself on a cross for us. To be able to live our life here knowing that He's got it under control and we can trust Him with what it is. See, religion brings it down to it's all about me. It's all about what I can do. Can I tell you that I'm just a pretty weak, feeble guy when it comes down to being able to get myself into heaven and to get myself into a relationship with God. I can't do it. I can't do enough good things. I get tired like y'all do. You know, I get wore out. And so it's not about what we can do to get us into heaven. It's about what's been done for us that gets us into that relationship and into His presence for eternity. Jesus didn't come to create a religion. You hear me? He didn't come to create another religion. He came to restore a relationship that was already there, that was meant to be for you and me. And today, maybe you came in with something that you think that you just haven't done enough and can't do enough to get into that relationship with Him. Let me just tell you, can you please get over that? Because I can't. There's nothing I can do, and I can't make it either. See, we keep trying to make this relationship with God something we spell D-O, right? Do. Listen, a relationship with God is about something that you spell D-O-N-E. It's done. He gave it on the cross for you and me. And what He did there opens up the door for you and I to have that relationship with Him. Through our belief and our trust in who He is, allows us to have that relationship. Church, if we'll begin to live out that relationship, Because see, I believe the things that we D-O, it is because of what D-O has been D-O-N-E. Right? The things that we do is because of what's been done. If we begin to believe in who Christ is and what he's done for us, then what we do does change. No longer do we have to do it, but we get to do it. No longer is it about how much we labor, but it's about how much we actually get to just serve him and others. We've got to quit making it about how we perform and begin to look at it as what Christ has already made real and made solid for us. So consider the eternal message that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is about the fact that Christ loved you enough to give himself up for you. That he died on a cross to pay the price for your sin. He was buried, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and restored for eternity into that relationship. And today, if you've never experienced that, guess what? You get to do it right here, right now. It's a moment of you trusting and believing. It's not about you coming to tell me everything you've done, right? Some people want to come and tell me everything as if that's going to get them right. All that's going to do is make me shake my head at you. I'm just joking. I would never do that. Because we probably could compare stories. That's what we would probably do. But it's not about that. It's about you just trusting him and letting him then take your story and do something with it. So maybe today you've just been struggling with this whole Jesus thing. You know, it doesn't matter what I believe. As long as I believe it sincerely. Now, I believe God's good. I believe in him. Listen, don't just believe in him. Know him. Have a relationship with him. He says through his son Jesus, you can do that. And so today I'm going to give you a simple opportunity. The band's going to come back and they're going to play. And in this moment, this isn't anything magical. It's not anything crazy. It's just a moment for you and me to just look at our lives and say, you know what? First, have I ever made a decision to truly believe in him and trust him for who he is? That he is the one who created the miracles. He is the one who came and died on the cross and was raised again. And he is the one who has hope for my eternity. That is who he is, and today I want to believe him and trust him and have a relationship with him. Number two, a lot of us in the room, we're going to say that we've already done number one. And I'm going to ask you this question. So if it's been D-O-N-E, what are you going to D-O with it? What are you doing with it? Listen, if your relationship with Christ was just so you could feel better about where you go when you die, you're missing out on so much. I've lowered way too many people in the ground to know that once you do it, it's done, and it don't matter from that point. Physically, it's done. But spiritually, you are and I are going to live forever. And have we done what needed to be done right to make sure we have that relationship with him? This moment is about you and I coming to a place of acknowledging that. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you so much. My eternity doesn't hang on me. Doesn't hang on me being nice all the time. It doesn't hang on me being the right place at the right time all the time. It doesn't hang on me doing the right things. It doesn't hang on me achieving anything. But God, I thank you that you love me enough that you took it off of me and you put it on your son Jesus. God, I'm sorry that you had to die and send your son to die for me. God, I'm so thankful that you did. And so, God, today I pray that you'll help each of us to acknowledge that you did it for every one of us. You didn't do it for a big pat on the back. You didn't do it so we could all be a bunch of just little minions running around, God. You didn't do it like that. God, you did it because you want to a relationship with me. You want a relationship with each person. So God, in this moment, I pray that you'll just search our hearts. And if we've never made that decision, God, that you would just continue to draw us to you. And that God, throughout this room, wherever it's needed to be done, that people would accept you. And just acknowledge that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for him, God, to live a life that gives us all an example to live by, but you let him die on the cross to pay our price. You allowed him to be buried, but then you raised him up so that we could be forgiven not just today, but for eternity. So God, in this place, whatever needs to happen in our lives, God, may we be, one, not be ashamed of it, two, just be real about it and be honest and let you move. God, I pray that you'll take these next few moments and you'll just work in our hearts. God, just continue to make us more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.